Welcome back. Mike Roy and Thomas here. This is For the Love of Food on WYSL 1040. There is a chef coming to Rochester, actually to Canandaigua, to the New York Wine and Culinary Center very soon. We have her with us now, Julie Tabbouleh, otherwise known as Julianne Seguir. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. Hi. How are you?
Doing very well. And you hail from Lebanon, right?
Yeah,
or your heritage?
I was born here, but both my parents were from Lebanon, from a little village called Ardi, in northern Lebanon, actually. So.
Yeah, and you're coming to February. You're coming to the New York Wine and Culinary Center to do several classes. Actually, one's today and one's next Saturday, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yep, I was there actually a few weekends ago. Doing, we do a lot of lentils, of course, around this time of year, so I was doing lentils 2 weekends ago along with some Lebanese stews. But today, actually this afternoon and next weekend, I'm doing our famous Middle Eastern sweets, so an array of all different types of signature sweets that, of course, the Middle East is so famous for. So I figured, what a perfect time to share this.
It is, and these are hands-on classes, so people be actually making them with you.
Yes, I know, which is so amazing because, you know, first of all, the Culinary Center has, as you know, an amazing state-of-the-art kitchen there. It's hands-on. It's very comfortable for, you know, all the participants, and they get to cook right alongside with me in the kitchen. So, and, you know, for our food in particular, it can seem a little, you know, somewhat mysterious, if you will, you know, a little daunting to just kind of read my recipe, for instance, you know, without physically seeing it either on TV or in person doing it. So I try to really kind of bring a simplistic approach to it and kind of demystify it a little bit. And so it works out good when they're in the hands-on kitchen with me, for sure.
So what kinds of sweets will you be making?
Today I'm going to be doing some really classics. I'm doing baklava, which is like the kind of Lebanese, Middle Eastern version of baklava. A lot of similar components and ingredients, but there are definitely differences, which, you know, do at the end of the day give it a different taste and texture. We use a homemade orange blossom syrup, for instance, and not a honey syrup. Things like that. So I'm doing the baklava. I'm doing bird's nest, which is kind of a spin-off of baklava. It's actually phyllo dough that's made into these little kind of bird's nest-like shapes, if you will. And that's filled with pistachio nuts and again, the orange blossom syrup to finish it off. It's just really, really kind of a sight to see, that one. And then another one called harissa, or it also has two other names. It also goes by namura and he's still lost. And basically, it's a sweet made out of semolina wheat and also leban, which is homemade Lebanese yogurt, believe it or not, is in it, and kind of gives it a nice fluffiness and sponge-like quality to the sweet. And then that's finished with almonds and, again, the orange blossom syrup. So I'm also teaching in the class today and next weekend how to clarify butter or render butter, which a lot of people seem, you know, they seem like, what is that? How do you do that? And also, of course, making the syrup. So,
and that's that rendering butter. It's really helpful to see it. I mean, you can read about it, but you really have to watch it being done.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's like one of those things where, you know, if you're just reading it on paper, you're like, is that, you know, what it's supposed to look like? Or is, you know, am I pushing the butter too far? So, yeah, it's definitely like a must-have in sweet making and in pastry making because you're essentially kind of, you know, taking all of the milk solids and salt out of the, you know, you start with unsalted butter. So what you're left with is kind of like pure gold, you know, if you will. You know, this beautiful, very, you know, golden yellow butter. It's just essential for making our sweets. So, and it doesn't take that long. It's really not that hard when you see it in person. So that'll be exciting to do today, too.
It's good by the spoonful, too. Peel
it
of butter.
It is good by the spoonful. It can be quite addictive, yeah. That's funny.
And there are some seats available today from 2 to 4,
yeah,
as well as next Saturday.
Yeah, there are. There are a few more seats. So today it's from, as you said, 2 to 4. So if you're looking for something to do, it is a beautiful morning out there today. And it'll be, you know, there's something very kind of relaxing and very calming about making of these suites. It's just a certain kind of atmosphere that fills the room because, you know, it has to do with just the kind of crafting of it, really, you know, the layering of the phyllo dough and the nuts and the smells. So it's a different experience than actually, you know, doing more of the savory style cooking that I do, too. So it's kind of nice to, I think, nice to be doing on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you do a TV show in the Syracuse area?
Yes. Yeah. I started almost 2 years ago doing my Lebanese cuisine, and shortly after that, I started doing my Cooking with Julie Tabouli on Bridge Street, which is Channel 9 here in Syracuse, and then also going on another show called WCNY Connected on PBS. And that one is hosted by Ted and Amy from 93Q, which are kind of big personalities out here in the Syracuse area. So it's been really great to be able to, you know, represent my culture and our wonderful food and, you know, show little glimpses of it on TV with, you know, I try to do as much as I can within those 5 minutes, you know, kind of break down the, you know, the steps and the stages. So it's good, you know, it's kind of gives people just a little visual of, again, what these dishes are supposed to look like and, you know, kind of be as their finished plates and stuff too. So that's been really exciting for me.
In general, the food in a Lebanese and Mediterranean, Middle Eastern diet is pretty healthy food, isn't it?
Yes, it's very. You know, I think that was definitely one of the things when I first started doing my cuisine. One of the main kind of, you know, draws to the success of it. You know, it was kind of right out of the gate when I started doing it. It was a really great response from people because it's very fresh, like very healthy for you. Like, and I'm very about fresh is best. I mean, generally myself and, you know, virtually any kind of, you know, I don't want to generalize, say just, you know, Middle Eastern or Mediterranean, but, you know, it's very much about the ingredients, you know, always working with fresh ingredients, and it just makes you feel so good, you know, at the end of the day, you know, so that's really what my cooking, you know, is all about. There's the fresh flavors coming through, you know, I'm working a lot with parsley and scallions and tomatoes and, you know, fresh lemon. Lemon's probably one of my most favorite ingredients, actually. I'm always like, fresh lemon, you know, because we use it in so many things. It makes such a difference, you know. Olive oil, of course, sea salt, you know. So a lot of grains, too, of course. You know, bulgur wheat, which most people associate with Middle Eastern food, you know, and lentils, of course. So it is. It's more based on, you know, vegetable, kind of green, with, actually, tell you the truth, little red meat, you know. I mean, we have a lot of different dishes we make with lamb, but not so much, you know. So,
but they're not, they don't tend to be, you know, a lamb steak that's, you know, like a prime rib cut with 40 ounces of meat.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, the lamb, you know, the lahm mishwi, which is like lamb kebabs and, you know, different types of lamb stews that we do and, you know, the things that we do more in the summer, obviously out on the grill. And, you know, we're finishing off with a sauce called toum, which is kind of similar to an aioli sauce. So it's like a very garlicky, you know, kind of olive oily, lemony sauce. It's really thick and delicious. It's very it's very good. So, yeah, so those things are, you know, done on the grill. And, you know, again, lamb is a very lean meat. So, yeah, you're not really, you know, having a big hunk of steak in front of you.
No. But, and tabbouleh is a great thing to hang your hat on because,
yeah,
when you think of that, you've got the greens, you have the grains in that.
Yes.
And it's such a healthy dish.
It is. It is. I know there's a lot of tabbouleh, not just because of my nickname, but it really is probably one of my most favorite dishes to make and to eat because it's so visually just beautiful when you're, you know, you have this whole array of like the flat leaf parsley and the tomatoes and the scallions and all these fresh vegetables and greens right in front of you. It's just a really, like, inspiring and vibrant dish. And, it is, you know, I know there's a lot of kind of variations out there for it. Some people, you know, oh, do I put cucumbers in it or not? Or, oh, do I put allspice in it or not? You know, and, you know, different regions do put cucumbers. You know, I don't. I just stick to kind of really the traditional, like, Lebanese style and how I was raised with, you know. I don't think allspice has any part to do with tabbouleh. I love allspice. I use that more in my savory stews and certain dishes. But for me, it's just about tabbouleh should really burst with freshness in your mouth when you have it. You know, you should get the lemon. You should get the olive oil. You know, the parsley, of course, those kinds of things. But it is. It's a great dish. That's probably one of my most popular kind of requests, recipe requests. And, you know, and also with the bulgur wheat, I know, you know, the bulgur wheat that I use, the bulgur wheat essentially comes in kind of three different cuts. You know, it has the fine, it has the medium, and the coarse. And, you know, the size of the grain goes up in level in that way. And tabbouleh and some of our other dishes, generally we're using the fine, which is like the smallest, you know, kind of size of the bulgur wheat. And when you're buying more of like a quality type of bulgur wheat like that from, let's say, a, you know, specialty store or a gourmet store, not typically the type that you find in a box like in the, you know, regular supermarket, you really don't need to boil bulgur wheat. That's probably the biggest misconception that when I started teaching it, you know, because you see more of other chefs doing that on TV, and they do need to do that for that particular type of bulgur wheat, but not the bulgur wheat that I'm talking about, which is the fine grain. You just simply soak it with just tap water and or any type of water you like, bottled water. And by the time that you're done chopping all of your ingredients, your bulgur wheat is nice and soft, and it's ready to, you know, you just wring it out from the water, and it's ready to be sprinkled upon your salad. So it's really kind of, you know, key to kind of get a nice quality bulgur wheat for that especially.
Now, I've had some tabbouleh that are mainly parsley with a little bit of grain. I've had some that are mainly the bulgur with a little bit of parsley. Mm-hmm. Where do you fall in the tabbouleh scale?
The tabbouleh scale. I like that. I know. I've had that same people tell me that before, too. I try to kind of be right in the middle. You know, I don't try to do too much of the parsley and, you know, and all the other vegetables. So I don't want you to feel like you're eating, like, you know, you know, a lawn, you know. And then the other hand, I don't try to overpower it with the bulgur because it's not really a bulgur salad. I know a lot of people will see the prepackaged tabbouleh and all it looks like is grain with a little bit of fresh herbs. So it's quite on the opposite. It really should be dominantly more, you know, of the fresh ingredients with sprinklings of the bulgur wheat. So I try to go right in, you know, kind of a balance in between, you know. I think right in the middle is good. And then you could go, you know, adjust it accordingly. If you like more bulgur, go ahead, add it, you know. If you don't want as much, then you can scale back. So, but I try to go right in the middle. But, you know, you have to know, too, if you're using more bulgur in your salad, obviously it's going to soak up more of the, you know, more of the olive oil and more of the juices. So then it's going to get more thick and kind of, you know, mushy in a way, actually. So you kind of have to compensate that with a little bit more liquid. So so you don't get mush.
It's not like baking where you have to be exact. You can just mess around with it and have fun with it.
Yeah, you can eyeball it. Yeah. I mean, I really, you know, I know Middle Eastern food is many, you know, different types of food. It's really, you know, the great people in our life, mothers and aunts and family, they don't measure, you know, and they don't want to really show you exactly what they're doing. You know, they kind of save some of their secrets to the side. But I really try to break these down actually with my mother, who obviously I learned everything from, and she's a extraordinary cook, and I really try to get it down to very specific, you know, quantities and things like that and measurements. So that way when they did leave me, you know, and go home and make it, it would come out successful for them. So, but give or take, you know, you definitely, our food is a, you know, very hands-on experience. It's all about feeling your food, tasting it along the way. I try to give a good guideline, I guess, you know, to start from. So.
Who came up with the tabbouleh nickname for you?
Yeah, the tabbouleh nickname. I know that's it's so funny now that I think about it. My when I was little, my uncle Dominic, my uncle Richie, My Uncle Richie, they're you know, both kind of like best friends, like bigger than life characters, and my Uncle Richie would like give nicknames to everybody, you know, and one day he's like, oh, look, you know, it's Eddie Spaghetti, who's like my brother. And then he's like, oh, it's Julie Tabouli, you know. So that was it. He just, you know, he was giving me and my brothers and sister nicknames, and then that's what I got. And everybody just started calling me it after, ever since, really, you know.
So it's been a long time. You've been stuck with this a long time.
Yeah, I have, actually. And they shorten it up, you know. They don't even really call me Julie now. They're just like, where's Tabouli? You know, where's she? So it's cute. Yeah, so I figured, oh, perfect, you know.
Your website is julietabouli.com, and people can link to your TV appearances and classes, not just the New York Wine and Culinary Center, but other places. But also your My Lebanon page, which is, you know, these days, and for many years, Lebanon has generally been in the news as a place that is in trouble, and people don't realize perhaps how beautiful a place it is and how what the reality of Lebanon is in the country in total.
Yeah, no, that's definitely for sure. Unfortunately, it has been for ever since I was little, you know, just always having trouble there, you know, because really of the landscape, you know, of so many things that make Lebanon what it is, you know, and kind of one-tailed as the, you know, Paris of the Middle East. I think there's been a movement in the past few years definitely to kind of reclaim that, you know, kind of title in a sense. But I actually had the opportunity, you know, I was born here, and although my, you know, my mother and my uncle and different family had gone back and forth, because my grandmother, on my mom's side, and actually all my mom's sisters are still in Lebanon. So although my grandmother had come back and forth when I was younger, I hadn't seen her in a very long time, and I never actually met any of my mom's sisters, all of my aunts on my mom's side. Both my mom's brothers are here. So I had the opportunity 3 years ago in the summer of 2007 to go to Lebanon. I went on August 1st. I went for a whole month, and it was just obviously a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know, I never really thought that I would ever be there, just because it's not really a place, although it's so beautiful and we have family there. You know, my mother and family, it's because of the trouble, you don't really, you know, necessarily, it's a little, you know, uneasy to go there, you know. So, but it was definitely, you know, life-changing. It's a beautiful, breathtaking country. It really is, because of, you know, you've got the mountains, you've got the sea, you've got the, you know, kind of valley in a sense, and the people, you know, for me, all the answers, unanswered questions in my mind kind of got answered, you know, and where I get things from. I mean, just our generosity, like really warm, welcoming spirit of, you know, the people there, and they're very proud people of their country, and not just because I'm Lebanese, but, you know, there's a lot of just anybody in general, you know, they're very like, you know, how do you find their country? You know, what can we do for you? You know, wherever you go, it's a very, you know, people will definitely greet you with warm smiles and obviously open hearts, because they really, they're proud of their, you know, they're proud of the country. They're proud of their cuisine, first and foremost. And they want you to just experience everything that you possibly can, you know? So that was amazing. And yeah, I do have, it's funny, because at the time when I was there, I didn't know that I was going to be doing this, you know, doing my cooking, my cuisine and everything. So, but it's kind of funny, because I did. I documented a lot of things, obviously, along the way, and, you know, had the chance to go all over. And so there are some of my photos up there, but I'm hoping to get more of my photo library up there soon, so people can look out for those photos too. But yeah.
Well, you're an ambassador for Lebanon through the food.
I feel that way, you know. I feel it started with, I think that's a great honor, you know, and it started with, like, you know, me more of, like, I mean, representing my mom, representing my aunts, representing all the amazing cooks in my family. And so when I first came out, I just felt like I was, you know, really kind of representing them, you know, like channeling them through me, you know. And then as I get into it more, I feel like, wow, this is, you know, representing our cuisine and, you know, my country in some ways, you know. So I hold a lot of pride to that and want to make sure I'm always doing things, you know, traditionally. But, you know, obviously I've put my own spin on things too, but I still keep things to tradition. But I want to make them happy, you know. I want to make them proud, so.
Well, people can meet you today in the class. There's a few seats left today from 2 to 4. It's $50 for the suites, world-class Middle Eastern suites. And then next Saturday also, mm-hmm. 2 to 4.
Yes, and what's nice, too, about the classes is that obviously in addition to making them and experiencing it all with me, actually my mom is coming with me today, too, that'll be an extra treat. They obviously get to taste everything in the class, and there's always lots left to take home with them. So that's always a good thing, so they can bring it and share it with, if they want to share it. If they don't want to keep it all to themselves, if they want to share it with, you know, friends and family and loved ones and stuff like that. And then next week, actually, it's going to be a whole set of different types of sweets that aren't as widely known here, but they are for sure famous in the Middle East, and I'm really focusing on a sweet called kanafi, and all the different variations of it, which is kind of like a custard made again from heavy cream and semolina, and it's delicious. It's creamy and velvety. It's really unlike anything I think anybody's ever had. And again, it's really very, you know, kind of easy in a sense to make. So, and it's all served warm too on that one, so it just really kind of melts in your mouth. And it's layered again with phyllo dough, and actually shredded phyllo dough, which is kind of just like thin shreds. You know, kind of think of angel hair pasta, but they do it with the phyllo dough. So that'll be kind of you know, extraordinary to do with people too. So that's all themed around next week's classes, though.
All right. Well, it's nywcc.com. You can register online and check out the classes there. And Julie, thank you very much for giving us a ring this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Julianne Seguir, otherwise known as Julie Tabouli, julietabouli.com on the web, from Syracuse, but family from Lebanon, and she will be doing these two classes, and she's done some others, so she'll be doing additional ones probably, but the two that are scheduled now today and next Saturday on sweets from the Middle East. It's nywcc.com.